Thank you, Jenny, and thanks to all of you. This is always exciting for me. I came to my first schedulers and dispatchers a couple of years ago when we were in Reno, and I was immediately captivated by the energy and the enthusiasm and the excitement. It was really palpable. And so last year I was really excited about going back to San Antonio to see if it was there again, and it was. So I thought I would ratchet it up a little bit. I thought, you know what? I'm only seeing them on the first or second day. I'll bet that enthusiasm begins to wane a little bit by the time the show wraps up. So I came out today, and here you are on the last day, and things are still rocking and rolling. So congratulations to all of you for keeping up the tremendous enthusiasm and excitement that I think is really the heart and soul of our Schedulers and Dispatchers Conference. I really appreciate the tremendous work that all of you do, the excitement you bring, and what you give to each other and back to the community to make this such a special event. I also want to take just a second to recognize the committee itself and the NBAA staff that worked so hard to put this all together. It was interesting. Last year I was really captivated when I came and they told me that they were going to begin to institute the passport program for new attendees. I thought that was really innovative. And so I thought, now what are they going to do this year to really catch people off guard, something that's really going to be surprising? And I thought the idea of having a sleet storm in Phoenix the day before the conference really was terrific. Just going back for a second to thank the staff and to thank the committee. I last year had the opportunity to share with you the news that we had promoted Joe D'Amato at the convention, and last week we did the same thing again. We've promoted her and made her a director, so congratulations, Joe. Just in terms of expectations, I don't want you to think that every year we just give Joe a promotion at this, because I did the math, and that would mean in 3 years I would be announcing her taking my job. So enough on that. But I do want to thank not just Joe, but everyone on our staff that works so hard. And I also want to really recognize the tremendous work that is being done by the committee itself and all of their hard efforts. I became introduced to this. I worked a little bit with Christy Alley when she was the chair of the committee, and it reminds me a little bit of that old Remington commercial. I don't know if you remember, this is when Victor Kiam, an entrepreneur, used to do advertisements, and he said, you know, I like the company so much I bought it. We worked with Christy so much, we've hired her at NBAA now to be a regional rep, so I want to thank Christy for joining our staff and coming over from Schedulers and Dispatchers. And I also want to thank Amy for the terrific job she did in putting this together. As was mentioned, this is our biggest and best ever, and it's a tremendous legacy that you leave. I know it was a lot of work. I know it was a work of passion and love, and we appreciate that very much. And of course, as you do that and as you pass that on, you also kind of lay down the gauntlet for next year. So, Jenny, I don't know if you're feeling the pressure, but it's there to try to do this next year bigger and better is quite a challenge. But I know you're all up to it. And then, you know, lastly, let me thank not just our staff and not just the committee, but to thank all of you because the one thing that has really been driven home to me since I've been at NBAA. It's just how important our volunteers are for making NBAA work. Obviously, as someone who has the title of president and CEO and who has a paycheck associated with their job, I feel a tremendous ownership of NBAA. I feel myself reflected in a lot of that, but what I found and what surprised me a little bit as I've gone out and toured around and talked to different NBA members is just how much NBAA doesn't belong to a board of directors or to a professional staff, but it belongs to the membership and the tremendous ownership that our members and our volunteers feel, and the way they reflect that ownership in the long hours of volunteer time that they put in to make everything we do a success, to help us and to help each other, kind of raise the level of professionalism, to try to make business aviation work for our companies, for our communities, and really for our country. So let me thank not just my staff, not just our committee, but all of you for everything you do to make this conference a success and to make our industry a success. Let's give yourselves a round of applause. I mentioned that I started coming out to this convention a couple of years ago. It was when I first started at NBAA, and I talked at that time about what was clearly evident as a coming challenge to our industry. I talked about how business aviation was coming under attack, that there would be proposals coming down the road that would try to tax business aviation really kind of to the periphery, to try to marginalize us. And I talked at that time about the need for our community, which is so big and so diverse and so fundamental to our nation's economy, talk to you about trying to find a way to make that size and that significance felt by the policymakers in Washington. And I asked a lot of you at that time to go to a new software program that we had developed at NBAA called Contact Congress, and to simply go on our website, www.nbaa.org, find our Contact Congress icon, and go ahead and write an introductory letter to your member of Congress. Let them know that you were part of a community and that you knew that as a member of Congress they had a great deal of authority over it, and that you cared, that you were in their district, you had a profession, and you were interested in it growing. And a number of you did that. And I thanked you last year and urged some of you who hadn't gone to do it. But I guess part of my message today is not to urge you just to introduce yourself to your members of Congress, but to actually understand that that fight that had been on the horizon for so long, that user fee battle with the commercial airlines, is no longer kind of a vague and distant threat, but kind of an immediate threat that is at our door. Yesterday I had an opportunity to be in Washington, D.C. and attend a luncheon that was hosted by the Aero Club of Washington. And the speaker for that lunch was the brand new Secretary of Transportation, Mary Peters, who was from Arizona. And it was interesting because this was her first opportunity to make an aviation speech. It was in Washington and it had all of the different association groups that were there, a lot of policymakers, a lot of the trade press was there. And the message that she gave was clear and unmistakable. She said that very soon the administration would be putting forward an FAA reauthorization plan, and fundamental to that plan would be recommendations to change the way the FAA is funded. She talked about the need to tie revenues to cost. In other words, she said user fees. And so what we now know is that idea that someday the administration, working closely with the commercial airlines, might have a user fee proposal, that's now a reality. And what that means is a couple of things. First of all, the user fee means that we're going to have to pay a lot more than we are paying now in taxes. I know that because I used to work on Capitol Hill and people would talk about fees and user fees and taxes and user fees and taxes. Finally, I couldn't understand the difference, so I asked a friend of mine who'd been there a while, I said, what's the difference between a tax and a fee? He said, oh, a fee is a tax that we're about to raise. So think about that. If we go to user fees, we're going to be paying more. And it's not just a one-time deal. The taxes that we have were put in place in 1997. They have not been raised for 10 years. User fees, however, are not controlled by elected officials. They're controlled by a separate rate board, a group of people who is not accountable to the general public. And in places where there are user fees go up, and they go up on an annual or a biannual basis. Canada is being heralded as a model that we should follow in the United States. All kinds of think tanks are coming forward with plans saying we ought to follow the Canadian system. Let me tell you, in Canada, they have raised user fees 5 times in the last 4 years. So think of user fees as an immediate tax hike, and then think of it as a gift that keeps on giving, because every year you're going to pay more. Another thing that you've got to figure in when you're thinking about user fees is how you're going to process these things. Now, I know some of you have flown internationally, and you know what I'm talking about. When you fly internationally, you end up getting a thick invoice, you know, something big and thick that comes in the mail maybe 3 weeks, maybe 3 months after you've taken the flight. And you got to open the mail. You got to go talk to your pilot. You got to validate it. Got to send it to get a purchase order. If there's something wrong, you've got to, of course, argue about it. Good luck, by the way. Then you got to mail off the check. All of that takes time. That's a processing expense, a hidden tax. In fact, when the International Air Transport Association presented at a forum up in Montreal at the International Civil Aviation Organization, they said that it takes an international airline $85 to $125 just to process an invoice. That doesn't matter what the charge is on the invoice. That's just the processing fee. That's a hidden tax. So when you think about what your flight department cost, what the cost of every operation is, add $85 to $125 per flight to that amount. It's another tax. But you know what may be the most significant and the most concerning thing about user fees is what I said before. They're not controlled by Congress. And remember, Congress was specifically designed by our founding fathers to look out for minority interest, to make sure the little guys didn't get run over by the big guys. Congress has been a pretty good board of directors for our aviation system. They've done a pretty good job of making sure that we've got a strong network of airports out there, making sure that our system is well-funded, making sure, in fact, that the U.S. is able to enjoy the largest and the safest and the most efficient air transportation system anywhere in the world. What the commercial airlines in the United States are proposing is to take that control away from Congress. They would like to have a user fee system that is controlled by a rate board that inevitably will be dominated by the airlines. Now, you may not see that right away, but let me tell you how boards tend to work in Washington. Somebody says, you know, we ought to have a board that looks like industry. And then the next thing somebody says, well, sure, we ought to have a representative from the regional airlines on there. And we ought to have someone from the cargo airlines represented. And we ought to have someone from the low-cost airlines, and someone from the major airlines, and someone from the airline pilots association. And the list goes on and on. And then finally they come to the end and they say, well, maybe we should have one or two GA people. Inevitably, those boards that look like industry are always dominated by the airlines. And I can tell you that if the airlines control the air traffic management system, they're not going to run it to make sure that everyone has equal and fair access to the system. I believe wrongly, but the commercial airlines today have come to view business aviation not as a complementary service, not as augmenting the Lyft, but as a direct competitor. And if anyone has followed airlines, you know they like to squash the competition. And so when we talk about the coming user fee fight in Washington, D.C., and the challenges that we are facing, I hope you will recognize how this will impact all of you and this community and this industry that we all love so much. I believe, having been in this industry for over a decade and having talked to people who have been in it a lot longer than I have, that the fight that we're about to face in Washington is the single most significant and greatest threat our industry has ever faced. We're going to be competing against the commercial airline industry, which has got a pretty good history of working Capitol Hill. I mean, after 9/11, they got a $5 billion bailout. They got $10 billion in loan guarantees. They've been able to shift all of their pension cost off to the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. They've been able to get the government to pick up their war risk insurance. And interestingly enough, every year they seem to be able to defeat user fees for security. They are a battle-tested and tough industry that is coming after us. They seem to have the ear of this administration. And now we're under attack. And so my plea for you today is to take the tremendous energy and the tremendous enthusiasm and the care and commitment that I see at every information session and every exhibitor that I stop and talk to, and turn that in to a voice for advocating business aviation in Washington. I know that a lot of people think Washington works, gee, we have an association, we've got a head, they've got a government affairs group, I'm sure they can take care of this for us, but that's not the way Washington works. The people in Washington are happy to host within the city's confines 4,000 associations. They hear from us every day. What matters more to members of Congress is hearing from their constituents, and that's you. That's you. And every voter matters to a member of Congress. So please, let me go back where I started 2 years ago. NBAA has the software technology to help you make your voice heard in Washington, D.C. Please go to our Contact Congress site on our webpage and make your voice heard. We will constantly be updating our letters. We'll immediately identify for you who your member is, who your senators are, what the message is, but only you can go and click and send. And you need to do that, and you need to get your co-workers to do that, you need to get your customers to do that. Because as I said at the very beginning, we are a very large and a very diverse and a very significant part of this economy. We've got to make that heard and felt. Thank you very much.